Our radio audience, to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship service at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.deb.tumcseymour.org. We'd like to thank Dee and David Hess for sponsoring our radio in honor of Richard's birthday. And now, if you will turn to our scripture for the day, it's found in Luke 2, 8 through 14, and that is on page 1014 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to read along. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." And now we will have our sermon titled "Concert in a Field," brought to you by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
You gotta love this time of year. Merchants all think this is the very best time of year because sales will be booming. Postal workers, you can ask Kathy, they look at this time of year as back-breaking labor and 12 to 18 hours a day serving all the people around them. But then, if we look at the eyes of the little ones, we see the magic of the season. They anticipate Santa. They anticipate Rudolph. They find wonder in the season time and time again. But what of you and I? Have we become so used to this time of year that we forget the wonder of the season, that we forget the miracle of the Christ child's birth, that we forget the miracles that happen all around us every Advent season? Do we forget that this is a time of year where people tend to come together to lift others up? This is also a time of year where people grieve, where statistically more people die than any other time of year through the holidays. So be mindful of all who are around you. Smile, reach out your hand, do any little bit of loving kindness that you might be the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. And you know, this season is filled with music. Everything from the department stores, which started about Thanksgiving, playing all of the Christmas favorites. Sadly, and I'm one of them, they become commonplace to the point where I tune them out. They no longer stir my heart. I told the girls on the way today, because they've let me know that, well, maybe Christmas music is not their favorite, except for what we sing in church, right, ladies? Right. So I had put on a Zach Williams CD for them to listen to on the way here. But if we remember the depth of the hymns and what they have to teach us and the glory that we can find in them, it will again stir our hearts. I don't know a church that does not have amazing Christmas music, solos throughout the Advent season. And on Christmas Eve, music is the crowning glory. We will have Georgie Ann Coons here this Christmas. If there is a particular song that you want to sing, please write it down and leave it on my desk, because if you tell me on Sunday morning, whew, it goes right out the window. There's music everywhere. Music of every single kind. TV shows us all kinds of music, from the popular music to country and western to rappers coming up with new Christmas hymns. After all, it is the season. And the message of the Christmas season, found in scripture and music alike, is captured well in the Gospel of Luke. Who has a tradition of reading the Gospel of Luke through December? Anybody? It's a tradition you would do well on picking up. You can read one chapter. You might have to do a little catch up since we're already into December. But you can read one chapter through the month and you will have read the entire Gospel of Luke. A book that has so much joy, so much details. Luke was a physician and a historian. Matthew is good. Mark is just the facts. But Luke is detailed in everything that he brings forth. We read, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And it was in that quiet, holy place that the first Christmas concert was held, among the lowly shepherds. Now, mind you, in that day and age, whether it was a misconception, whether it was partially real and partially gossip, no different than today, shepherds were not regarded well. People said they had a tendency to not know the difference between thine and mine, and things would appear missing. They were not the first people that one would invite to a magnificent concert. But our Lord favored them, not because they were of highest esteem, but simply because they were human beings. And the angel came forth with the brightest of lights, causing the shepherds all to stare in glory and to receive the good news of the Christ child and where that child laid. It's all part of the wondrous glory of Christmas. The music can build a setting for itself almost anywhere. Some people criticize the Christmas music, but if we allow it to reign in our souls, especially the old hymns, it will indeed stir in us a sense of wonder. Christmas messages bring shattering light to the darkest of dark places. Martin Niemöller, Christmas Eve, 1944, preached at Dachau, one of the most horrible concentration camps, one of the darkest places upon this earth. You see, he had preached in Berlin 7 years earlier. At his own pulpit, he had preached against Hitler. Lo and behold, They knocked upon his door. They arrested him, and he had spent 7 years in various concentration camps, the last four in the worst of all, Dachau. The sounds of brutality and the stench of death created a darkness that none of us can even begin to imagine. It was an oppressive environment, and the prisoners' only likely way out was through death. Most of them prayed for death. But Pastor Niemöller began his Christmas Eve sermon by saying, when Christmas must be celebrated in such an oppressive place, it is indeed a rather dismal affair. Yet for his text, he chose this text, the text of the angels singing, the text of glory. And he concluded his sermon with these words, let there therefore today, on this holy Christmas Eve, beseech the Lord Jesus Christ that he who came as a babe in the manger to a world that alienated him and his father, he came in order to save it. May it enter into each one of us, the joy of our salvation. Now, I have the most tremendous respect for somebody who can preach such a word of life amidst such darkness. Have you ever met somebody that no matter what they were going through in their life, they had a word of hope and love to give? I've got to admit, I sometimes struggle with that one. But we are all called to be that word of hope, that word of love, that word of light into the darkness of our world. Leon Morris reminds us that those shepherds were held with the deepest suspicion. They were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law. They weren't trusted in the marketplace without people watching every single move they made. The shepherds in Luke's story may or may not have been what their reputation preceded, but they lived with that reputation whether or not they had earned it. If today a major one-of-a-kind concert, something that had never been seen or heard before, was given to the lowest of the low, let's just say that the angel went out to the jail, shone above it, and began singing where everybody there could hear them. Would not some say, what a waste! What a waste! Our God values each and every human life. And he makes that abundantly clear. You know, people think that when they perform, artists perform, that particular audience, that particular congregation should have the ability to appreciate where that performance has come from. There's preachers who think that too. They think that they should be able to speak forth a word and have everybody hang on it. They feel that people in the congregation cannot possibly appreciate all of their scholarly studies. Our God has a tendency of taking the high and mighty and dropping them down and taking those who are lowly and raising them up. Humble thyself in the name of the Lord, and he will raise you up. I must insist that any artist, any preacher, any teacher that assumes such a posture is seriously mistaken. No one knows the latent capacity that awaits in one's audience, in one's congregation. You know, I would stand to reason nobody really wanted to go to Kilgore, Texas, to hear anything, let alone to hear the young Van Cleburne, who one day would grow to be a world-renowned pianist. Growing up with a talent many times greater than most of the artists who would have scorned being in some place as small and dry as Kilgore, Texas. There are many clerics who would not have been anxious to go preach in Blantyre, Scotland. Yet, one young man grew up there who ended up being the most famous missionary to all the world, David Livingstone. One never knows who is sitting in their presence and how they will become. I look at all our beautiful, wonderful youth. We have no idea their potential. We know they're tremendous. We know they have talent. We know each and every one of them is special to us. But we have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes and who they will become eventually. You know, I had a colleague that once preached a sermon about the shepherds, keeping watch in the night. They heard the angel sing. And in his sermon, he insisted that the shepherds were never the same again after they heard those angels sing. They were transformed. They looked at everything in life differently after hearing those angels sing. And you know, beloved, I know I would too. There are times when our God can reach us and speak to us on such a deep level that he can turn us around. You know, everybody thinks coming to church is about feel good. But I've been told that at least once a month, we should be stirred to change. We should be convicted. We should be moved by the Holy Spirit to change something in our life, to draw closer to the Lord, to treat one another with a higher regard. The fact is, the Bible never tells us what became of those shepherds, how their lives were or were not transformed. But what it does tell us is what happened at the end of that concert. They didn't shine lights on their cell phones. They didn't stomp their feet. They didn't clap their hands. They listened in awestruck wonder as the angels proclaimed the birth of the king, as they stated where that Messiah, where that infant lay. And when that sermon was over, they looked at one another and said, let's go. Let us go and see the Messiah, the King of Kings. They didn't worry about the fact that they were lowly. They didn't worry about their reputation. They didn't worry about walking through a field full of burrs and thistles and stones. They wanted to go worship and adore their king. And I wonder if we were to hear such a concert, such a sermon, that it turned us around, that it reminded us of the reverence and the awe that we were to have for our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning, if we sing glory to God in the highest, acknowledging its implication. You know, when anybody sings that song, they focus on the peace in the world. Some of them even focus on, and let that peace begin with me. But how many of us focus on glory to God in the highest? And beloved, perhaps that's a problem. Perhaps our world has lost its awe and reverence. Perhaps we have forgotten just how holy, how mighty, how glorious our God is. Perhaps we need to be reminded of His miracles. Perhaps we need to take a look at our own lives and in all the different places in which He has worked, in which He has transformed our life. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So many of our peacemaking efforts seem to go awry, not only at the level of international affairs, not only at the level of city council, but in our families and in our churches. Many of us tend to want peace on our terms, our terms. Yeah, I'll agree to this if I have to admit that I have a tendency to want peace on my terms. I have to admit that there are times, rather than being truthful and honest, I jump to people-pleasing because I want peace so much. I have sometimes seen earnest pacifists become unpleasantly aggressive in times of controversy over how peace should be pursued. I have watched time and time again while two people who claim to love each other, mother and child, husband and wife, neighbors, while their relationship crumbles and breaks because their right to their opinion was more important to them than keeping peace. And sadly, beloved, in this country, we have lost the ability to agree to disagree and still love one another. I see it happening here in this church. We do love one another. And we have learned to accept one another's differences and celebrate them. But it is not so everywhere. Oftentimes, people claim that they want peace, but only by honor. And honor in their minds is spelled my way. My way. Which is to say that we want peace more than we want that relationship. Which is to say that we want a particular method to bring about our peace more than we care about the relationship. That is wrong, beloved. We should come to Christ asking Him to fill us with the love and the capacity to love one another, even when we disagree. That peace should begin in me. What do we do when that concert ends? What do we do when the glory and the majesty is over? What do we do when the music and the lights go down? Well, if we are truly filled with the love of Christ Jesus, we run to Him. We run to Him. We humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and we let Him lift us up. From all we can deduce, these shepherds weren't qualified listeners. Yet when the concert ended, they knew what to do. These uneducated men who were judged by the entire society knew that they must come and adore him, that they must go and drop to their knees and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace among those whom he favors. And what shall we do, you and I, when this service ends? If we have heard it rightly, we will, like the shepherds, run straight to the King.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. these